Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West. Welcome to another edition of our Life by Life West. And I've got two of my favorite out of five people in my life. Of course, I got my partner in life and health and my wonderful bride, Dr. Mary. Mary, welcome.
Hi.
And my co-host and everything else, my anchor in life, my anchor on the show, everything you can think of, you know, that kind of stuff. And today we have a very special guest. We have our youngest daughter, Dr. Sydney Oberstein Hook, joining us to be able to share with us and talk about life and what's been happening in chiropractic and in her sphere of the world and in her brain. So, Sid, welcome to Life by Life West.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's taken a while to get you on the show.
I'm here.
I mean, we had to go through your publicist to be able to get this on. I want you to know. I mean, I thought this is as our parents, we might be able to just text you, but you know, I guess it works.
Oh, obviously, I'm her publicist then, because it was me that said I will get her on.
Exactly. I didn't say that. Anyways, for our audience, let me just share with you a little bit about Sydney. Dr. Sydney graduated from LifeWest in 2018, but before that, she was the beta group that we had go out and do preceptorship. So she left LifeWest in 2017 and went down to San Diego actually to work with her mom. Mary, work with you, Mary. And she stayed in San Diego. Took over the practice that Mary and I had built in 2018. And she's just had some really cool evolutions since that time period, leading all the way up to now, 2022, which we'll get into. But mostly really what I want to let the people know, let all of you know, is that, you know, where Sydney kind of came from. And I'm saying this from a father standpoint, but also as a chiropractor. You know, Sid at a very early age was with us on service trips all over, you know, especially in Mexico, because Mary and I would do service trips in Mexico every month. And, you know, Sid was the type of person, and Sydney, I think you know this, you're the type of person, all you want to do was just serve people, you know, like you would go down and hold babies, you change face paper, you do all these things. And no matter where Sydney went, people were just naturally gravitated to her. They just naturally just loved her, the energy she had, because she would hug anybody and be able to just really be able to unconditionally share love with people. And I know that's emanated into your practice and who you are these days, but I think it says a lot, you know. I don't know, and I certainly don't take credit for that, because that's not my personality. And Mary, very much so, you know, the amount of love you give off. But Sydney, as we move forward and do this, I just want to just let you know how inspired I am by you, not only as a chiropractor, and actually a lot more as the human being that you are. So welcome to the show, and let's jump in. Otherwise, I can just keep going, you know.
Thanks, Dad.
I'll get you to blush. But you know, I guess, Mary, if I can start, you want to start?
No, go for it.
I you know, I don't think our audience knows this about Cairo kids. You know how difficult it could be. You know, living up to expectations of your parents and what people perceive as expectations, you know, thinking, oh, my God, well, of course, you're gonna be successful. Your parents are chiropractors or that kind of thing. And it's like it's just a bunch of BS, because we're all individuals in what we do in our lives, you know, and I don't think people see that chiro kids, especially. I think everyone has to find themselves, you know, in chiropractic, but even chiro kids a little more difficult, you know, because they've already been around it all their lives, or at least a greater portion of their lives, depending on how they got into the chiro kidism. But how'd you find yourself? Like, what was your, you know, iterations, I could say, of Dr. Sidney, you know, who came from Sidney, who came from, you know, Ronna Mary's kid kind of thing, you know, along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's many facets to being a Cairo kid, right? The best part being I was born into this, and this being chiropractic and chiropractic being the best thing in the world, and living in the chiropractic environment and the lifestyle, I'm so forever grateful for that. And I think the double-edged sword, like you said, comes from the pressure and the expectations, and not even other people's expectations and pressure, but my own, right? Because in my life, you two are the greatest chiropractors that I know. And Lauren and Morgan, my two older sisters, obviously, the second best or whatever, I think you're all, technically you're all on the same playing field. Nobody get me in trouble. But there's a constant story in your head, in my head growing up of, well, which one am I going to be like, you know? And it actually wasn't until after chiropractic school that I realized which one I'd be, and that one being actually myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it took the journey.
Well, I like the analogy of like golf, right? If you've been around golfers all your life, and then you want to learn how to golf, you already have like this stuff there. Whereas someone who's never touched a golf club, right, Ron, you've said that as well. Like, it's easier for the instructor because you don't have to like deprogram or unlearn things. You just start from the scratch. So like, and then it's a matter of like, how long did that deprogramming or unlearning did it take you? Which I don't know how you would answer that. I mean, I don't think it's taken you very long from the time you graduated to where you are today, but can you speak to that a little bit of just like maybe what the journey's been?
Yeah. I mean, the journey for me in chiropractic, like every time somebody says, when did you know you wanted to be a chiropractor? I always say like, well, forever. Like, I don't really think there was one set point. There was like, I have this picture of me on a toggle piece and I'm like three, I have like drool on my sweatshirt because I'm like three and running around, but I'm laying on a toggle piece with a smile on my face. Like that was just my life. And so that, like in my whole story, chiropractic, I always tell people is my constant. And there was times where I fought against that. Like when I went to undergrad, I got the volleyball scholarship, went to undergrad. And when everybody was like, what do you want to do? My first response was, I'll be a psychologist.
Because
I didn't have a family as a chiropractor. Yeah, I was like, I'll be a psychologist. And then I took like one psychology class. I was like, this stuff is not fun. Like, it's not me. Like, it's not me. So after that, going to chiropractic school, immersing myself in that, graduating from school, that's 19 years of straight school that I went through. Hoops to jump through, stuff to learn, boxes to check off, tests to take. And it wasn't until I like entered the real world that I was like, oh, all right. Well, I started school when I was a child and now I'm an adult. And what is she like? How does she want to serve? And I think my journey was a little delayed because after school, I went straight into your guys' practice, right? Which is another journey of finding yourself in somebody else's practice and those people being your parents. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you grew up in that practice, actually.
Right.
Was that strange? Like taking kids, and you know, people are in that practice right now, probably 30 years, right? Or 36 years. And so people say, oh, I remember you when you know.
Yeah. Imagine how strange it is walking into your guys' practice in my work clothes, because I like had to buy work clothes after school. And I'm adjusting somebody who told me that as a kid, I would come in while you guys were adjusting them and like play with their nose through the table hole, like through the face hole. And I'm like, it's heartwarming. And it's like one of the sweetest stories anybody's ever told me in that office. But I was also like, how are you taking me seriously right now?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So Sid,
talk to us about the iterations, you know, I mean, obviously what have been some challenges, you know, that you've had or, and I know that every challenge is an opportunity to grow, obviously, right? But, you know, share with us some of the paths that happened. Because I think somewhere, whether they think it or not, but I think somewhere people see that, oh my God, life's going to be easy. Just step in, just do this stuff, you know, and they don't really see you know, it's not easy for anybody, or it's just as easy for everybody, however someone wants to look at it. What was your journey?
I mean, I think that the hard stuff came from the expectations that I put on myself. So leaving school, I had a few things in mind, right? I was just about to get married to my partner who was in school with me, Cairo couple. Two, I was entering my parents' practice, which I was planning to buy, super set up there, loved the practice, grew up in the practice. And then three, thought I wanted a high volume practice forever because that's what my vision of success was based on whatever speakers that came, however I viewed my judgment on other people. And when I got into practice, when I got into your guys' practice and we started the buying process of that, something kind of clicked. And like I said, after 19 years of being in school and not really putting my wider scope on, like chiropractic was my constant. And then once I got chiropractic, once I was out of school, it was like, all right, what do I want to do with this ball of power? And how do I want to use it? And when I stepped into your guys' practice and it was a high volume practice, all these things, it was great. And like I said, the love was there, but something inside of me was like, it's just a puzzle piece that's not quite fitting yet.
Yeah.
You know? And that little puzzle piece, I kept like playing with it until I realized like, it's just not the piece and everything looks perfect and everything should be going swimmingly. And I just had to kind of realize I can do chiropractic and chiropractic can be my thing. And it just might look different than anything I would have ever expected.
Yeah.
You know,
was it hard? Like, you know, I think that as human beings, we get comfortable, we get complacent. Doesn't mean we don't want to continue to go, but it just becomes when things can be easy. You know, was it hard to kind of like throw away the keys and say, wait a minute, I need to do this, you know, to express who I am through this beautiful art and science and philosophy of chiropractic?
Of course. Like I said, I kind of had like these footsteps that I should easily be able to walk in. And for some reason, the shoe wasn't fitting. Mm-hmm. So when I realized that the practice was not the practice for me and the relationship that I'm in was not the relationship for me, I kind of just needed to say no to everything that wasn't an F yes. I don't know if I'm allowed to cuss on here, but that's my motto for life. It's if it's not an F yes, it's a no for me. So saying no to that and kind of going into the unknown, I really didn't know what I was going to do except my constant chiropractic. Like I literally did not know what practice I was going to practice in, did not know what I really wanted, except I knew chiropractic would carry me through.
Yeah.
So that looked like going in a family friend's practice, the times that he wasn't there, seeing a few patients. And then it looked like joining a family friend's practice, Dr. Mm-hmm. Steph's practice. Mm-hmm. And when I went in there, I was in a space in my life where I said, I just want to be an employee. I want to clock in, clock out, only do the fun stuff, only adjust, no back end stuff, no running a business. And again, that was just the season for it without judgment, yeah. Right? Without, am I successful right now? Just that was a season. And then soon enough, after like a year and a half at Dr. Steph's practice, I got that like itch again. Like the puzzle piece wasn't like, mm-hmm. All right, this was great. And now this puzzle piece isn't quite fitting. And this time, instead of saying, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I really just like, all right, what's next? Because like I've been shown this path so far. What's next? And that's when, you know, my greatest blessing in my chiropractic journey kind of came to me.
Yeah.
Which is your office now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I just, to find this, I just had to get clear on what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know?
So I got some questions.
I do too.
You go.
Well, it's like I'm listening to you.
Wait, we get to interview our kid. I'm actually asking questions that I've never asked. You know, so well, excuse us if we're getting therapy as we meet with you, Sydney. It's great. It's such cool stuff.
Well, you're right. It's different because like I feel like I walked the journey with you, like from the front row watching it, and like what I watched the whole time, which is kind of what you just said, was I watched you just listening to that inner voice the whole time. But it's interesting when you said like the shoe didn't went when you were in our practice and the shoe didn't fit. I was laughing to myself because remember the day when you showed up to the practice and you were wearing my shoes, my pants, my shirt, and my earrings. And do you remember that?
Yes.
For me, that was pivotal thinking about that because I remember we walked out of a room together and I looked at you and I was like, are those my shoes? You go, yep. And I was like, my pants, my shirt. And then I went, are those my earrings? And do you remember you looked at me and you said, we were busy that day. And you looked at me and you went, Mom, like, get back to work. And I went, he said, Mom, like, get to work. And you, I think we were in like rooms 2 and 4. So we were facing each other. And I went, okay. And I just started adjusting, but it always hit me. Wow. Like I had a thought of like, Sydney's like me in this practice. And I wonder if she likes that. Nothing against me, but more like she's being Mary. There's only one Mary. Mm-hmm. That's not, and it's not Sydney. Mm-hmm. And then it was like short, like, so when on your journey, when you have said to me, like, yeah, I have to do what's being called to me. Like, I remember thinking like, well, perfect. Because how we raised you, like in my head was like, we raised you, like we gave you roots and we gave you wings and we wanted you guys to forge your own paths and find your own calling. And good for you for listening to your voice. Cause I'm watching you. And that's what inspires me most about you is that you go from the inside. You don't care what anyone else says or thinks. And as a parent, I mean, we're like cheering you on from the sidelines because we're like, good. Like, yes, do you, you're amazing. You do Sydney. Don't do Mary. Don't do Ron.
Thank you.
So, I don't know. I really didn't have a question other than I think it was more about like maybe asking you, like, do you feel like your inner voice like that? You're so connected that you just hear that voice so loud and clear.
Now I feel like I am. Yeah. But I also know what it feels like to not be connected, whether we want to call it the inner voice, innate, intuition, mm-hmm. your gut, your authentic self, whatever you want to call it. I know what it feels like to not listen to it and just have this almost like itchy feeling. Again, the practice that you guys built was amazing. It just wasn't like it. It wasn't like the special sauce for me, you know?
Right.
But Sydney, that the beautiful thing is that you chose to not take the easy path. You chose to not have this beautiful meal that just wasn't the perfect meal for you. And I think the lesson for me is that we should always be chasing perfection. That's kind of what I meant about like the complacency, not necessarily complacent, but you know, I got a great thing here. It's like, it couldn't be better, but it can if it's not feeling in here. And the question I had that I wanted to, on the tip of my tongue is kind of going from what you said, Mary, is Sid, how did the head in you, what did it look like when the head battled the heart or when the educated mind battled that innate voice, you know, about, well, why am I leaving here? Cause it's so good. I don't know what the banter was, but what was it like? And what was some of that?
It just, again, yeah. Staying there and staying in the easy route or the, what looked like perfect, knowing that there was income coming in because it was an already functioning, successful practice. All that, all those things versus like just not feeling not feeling like me and honestly, like not really knowing who I was either. Cause again, 19 years of school and like doing what I was supposed to do. It's like, where is the space for me to become me? And so the educated mind versus the like innate go with your gut had me in a place of just kind of going through the motions.
Yeah.
And going off what Mom said about the clothes, like I remember getting dressed for the office being like, Mom, like, is this okay? Like, this isn't stuff I would normally wear, but like, is this good to wear in your office? Like,
yeah.
First, fast forward to now. And it's like, some days I wear ripped jeans. Yeah. Some days I wear slacks. Some days I wear a flannel over a blouse, like, you know, and it's not, that's not what practice is about, but it's those little things that just make you feel like you. And then you should see the people that I attract in my practice now. Like they're like me, you know, yeah. Which is like my favorite thing in the world. And I like, that's like that seeing the people that I attract now, knowing who I am and knowing like, all right, I followed this voice in my head to get me into this beautiful space. and like share my gift in this way and seeing what is coming back from that is like, there's never a time in my life where I won't follow that voice again, because like the universe provides, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like you're just so grateful, you know, for what has taken place. And even if it was difficult, right? Like what were some of the difficulties? You know, what were some of the, you know, I know you could be open about, you know, but what were some difficult things as far as you listening? Like in my head, people might be listening to this conversation, watching this. There are a lot of people who are watching this, but watching this going, you know, I need to make a change, but they don't even know how, or they don't even know what, you know, and I'm not saying for you to, you know, teach them how, but how did you do that? Like, what was that process? And was it tough? And was it ugly? And then was it beautiful? And, you know, that kind of stuff.
It was tough. And some of the things that like really caught my eye looking back again, because vision's 2020 looking back, but in the moment, it just, it didn't feel like an ick feeling, but it just didn't feel right. You know? And those were things like going into the reports, the day twos with people. And I was just like, I really don't want to do this. Like, this just isn't me. Not that there's anything wrong with it again, but if we're going off what is me, yeah, and how can I serve out of authenticity and abundance without fear? And also like, oh, I don't want to do this. Things like that, you know, or like even the speed that I was going. And that happened a few different times. You guys had a high volume practice and something inside me was like, I'm just go, go, go. And if I'm like me personally, like I would give somebody a 5-minute hug if time allows, you know, I'm just like that type of person. So I can adjust high volume. And even the practice that I went after you guys was a high volume practice, which made me realize I don't want to do that,
yeah,
you know, but it takes that little bit of like, oh, so when you're saying like, what would somebody do to kind of feel into that? The answer is actually feel into it. Does it feel good? And does it feel like you? And if there were no rules and money didn't apply, how would you greet somebody from start to end? And how much time would you spend with them? And, you know, because in my world,
yeah,
I would love to spend more time with people. And so now I do that.
Yeah. And I feel like it's exactly that dichotomy of feeling and thinking. Like, mm-hmm, we could try to think our way through things and we can think that it's working for us, just like whatever we think success is, right? Which we'll ask you that in a second, what your model is. But it's like, we're just not programmed to feel our way through, you know? We're programmed for, like you said, 19 years of schooling to, is that how many years you said? 19?
Yeah.
To think, not to feel, right? And wow, you know, it's like, so what happened when you get caught? Like, you know, someone's listening going, well, good, but I don't know if I could feel this. Blah, blah, blah. Like, is there any gems that you can throw that some of the stuff that kind of helped you unsubluxate above Atlas, you know, that to allow you to get clear?
I mean, I went to therapy. One, that helped talking it out.
Yeah.
Because I also, as I was splitting with practicing how I knew how my whole life, I was also dealing with the rupture of a relationship and all that stuff that went along with it. But just like, I just kept moving. Like I went to one practice, I went to another, something felt right. Loved this, didn't love that. I kept doing something because I didn't want to get stuck in the mud of, I don't know what to do. Nothing feels right. Because there was always something right, which was chiropractic. Yeah. Like even the days where life just felt really messy, I was like, all right, well, and it was COVID, right? So I had like three people. I just left the practice, but I had like a few people that came with me. So I was like, all right, my life is messy right now. And I've got three people to serve to the best of my ability. And those things would just make my day. So as far as going between the thinking mind and the feeling and all that stuff, like some days there's not much time to feel into it. You just have to keep going, but really like taking inventory of how that makes you feel. Like how does that speed make you feel? How do the conversations make you feel? Because having in-depth conversations where you allow people to feel, or you allow conversations to take place on the table, like that stuff fills me up, you know? So like through me moving through my journey, I was able to kind of feel into what feels right and add more of that. and subtract more of the no's.
Yeah. So you basically just answer, because I was going to ask the same question of like, good. So somebody watching this, all of us watching this, like, how do you teach someone how to feel if something's right? But you kind of just answered it. Number one is put yourself in a position, like you took action. You didn't just sit there going, nothing feels right. So you put yourself in positions of feeling things and then saying, like you said before, if it's not an F yes, then it's a no, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to streamline to get there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and my analogy, this kind of kicked in right now, or my aha, it's kind of like if somebody, they go, I don't want to eat. So they don't know what to eat. So they just don't eat. Mm-hmm. Now, no, no. And they get caught in that cycle of the no, instead of just saying, right. Just eat, just try different stuff. And as long as you're moving and you're doing this, like motion is life, right? As long as you're moving and you're moving through it, there might be stuff you don't like, but you're going to certainly find the stuff you like. You can never find the stuff you like if you don't eat. You know, it's just like you couldn't find what you do like if you didn't put yourself, in the pool or in the space to make that happen. And it's just such a good lesson, yeah. You know, because we usually...
The great paralyzed,
right? We usually go through the paralysis, the paralysis of analysis, right? Where we start thinking and we just don't do anything, we get stuck, you know. And it was a great. I just had an aha, thank you. I owe you for that one.
And also I think one of the coolest parts about like that journey is being able to surf through it all. Like I didn't need like a practice that was concrete in there forever to serve out of. I didn't need to have my stuff together completely to serve, you know, like I was able to be like, you can still be present with somebody. You can still show up and you can still serve and you can still deliver chiropractic regardless of the state of your life and your relationship and the practice that you are or are not part of, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thought that that was like, I always say it's my constant.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'm glad you said that. Because Mary, we've always taught the kids that, you know, when you're ever stuck in something, serve your way through it. Because that's what opens up that gratitude. That's what opens and totally changes the state of being, right? That vibrational pattern. You can still leave and be stuck in the mud afterwards. You're flat, still have a flat tire. But while I'm in there, I'm not thinking about my flat tire. I'm actually serving.
Well, that's the I was going to say, we always used to say one of our mottos was always like, get lost in service, Ron. Remember that?
Yeah.
And absolutely. It just hit me right now. I would change that now instead of saying, and we said that to you guys growing up, you know, always like lose yourself in service. And Sydney, you just taught me to find yourself in service.
Right.
Like don't get lost in service, but that's where you find yourself. So thank you for that.
Big difference. Sid, we could go on forever. We know that, but time's running short. And the last question, we always ask our viewers, our participants, two questions. But before we do that, I just want to really quickly ask you what, because I brought it up a second ago, we really didn't get to it. What's your definition of success? Because I think this will tie this whole thing in.
I feel like right now, again, it changes with every season that I go through, but right now, my vision or my definition of success is feeling truly fulfilled by what I do. And it's not a measure of money, and it's not a measure of how many hours I work or how many patients I see. It's just like really leaving and just feeling good. Like I go home and I'm more full of energy.
Yeah.
Now, you know?
Yeah.
That makes me feel successful.
I like that.
Yeah, I do. I love that too. And I also love the F yes.
Saying more of that.
Hey, the F yes, it's out the window, you know. I love it. All right. Well, listen, we always ask our guests two questions, and I'm gonna ask the first. And here it is. Where you are right now in this season of your life, right? If you were to look back at Sydney Oberstein just starting chiropractic college, what advice would you give yourself?
Oof. I would probably tell her, take it all in. You don't have to have it figured out. Just absorb as much as you can. And don't be afraid to try everything. You know, even whatever your vision looks like going in, because most students have probably been adjusted by a chiropractor before. And sometimes we get laser focused on that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be. It could be something that's uninvented yet.
Yeah. I love it.
Okay. So I have a question. Actually, it's the same question, just different time frame. So the same question of what advice would you give yourself? But now you've just gone through the chiropractic program and you're just starting your journey of your career. So you're a brand new chiropractor. Now, what advice, knowing what you know today, would you give yourself?
Follow the F yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to serve in whatever way feels right anyway, but serving in that F yes mentality just makes the difference.
Yep.
Love it.
Great answer.
I'm just trying to think of something we can send you as a gift that's just going to have the F yes on it, you know? Just say F yes, right? To health. The t-shirt. I say F yes to health.
Are you kidding? I'm ready to get it as a tattoo.
I love it. Well, Sydney, thank you. You know, thanks for being with us. And I think this is the most amount of time I've got to spend with you on one call in a while. And I certainly appreciate it. And I'll do this again tomorrow if we have to get you on a phone call. But thank you so much. And all seriousness.
Yeah, thanks, Ed.
For joining us and sharing your the wisdom that you've gained, you know, and where you're at in life right now and the amazing things that you're doing, because I know you're doing amazing things. And I know that you're kind of like this little sensation right now floating around Life West. People are on your Instagram page and doing stuff, because you are doing some pretty cool stuff. We'll make sure that's in the bottom for people to be able to follow and check that out. And but thank you. And Mary, again, thank you for being with me on these shows and me being with you. I'm very thankful to be with you. And for our viewers, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to check in every week. For every other week, we drop these Life by Life West. The opposite weeks, we do the Life West Leadership Line. And I got to thank you for sharing. I mean, our viewership is so high. And thank you for sharing this with others. I know that I'll hear this again, because I want to watch the edited copy. And I know that there's going to be a lot that I picked up today. I had a couple ahas at least, and a big ahas. But, you know, it's so important that people understand that in chiropractic, we're teaching ourselves, or we're teaching our patients, that healing comes from within. Well, so does life. So does direction. So does everything we do. And then, Sydney, thank you for reminding us that if we truly want to live a life from the inside out, that we have to take the steps to live from the inside out, not just the words, but the steps. And I really, like as Mom said, I admire that in you, and I admire what you've created. And I'm sure being on the sidelines, as you said, Mary, you know, we're in the stands watching, and it's such a cool place to be. But for our viewers, take that same within yourselves. Share this with people and let them know that they have the potential to do everything that they want to do. And until we come at you again next week with another episode, we want to bid you adieu. We want to let you know to keep hugging those around you and sharing and spreading the love and spreading the health to people, so that we can create a brighter future for humanity. And Sid, thanks again for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. That was a blast.
It was fun. Mary, again, thank you. And everybody else, thank you. Until we come at you again, we'll bid you adieu. And just remember that you are much more powerful than you were ever led to believe. So just keep that power moving, okay? Until we see you again, we'll see you later.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.